Hello and welcome to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You've joined us during our Easter series, and we're so glad you're here as Rick continues to share the six major benefits that the resurrection of Christ brings to people who choose to follow him. Okay, here's part one of a message called The Mystery of God's Plan.
Now, my favorite show on television is the show Lost. Anybody seen this show? Lost. And I really like Lost because it's a very complex mystery. But if you don't know the storyline with all of the flashbacks and all of the flash forwards, if you tried to come into this series in the middle of the series, you're lost. It makes no sense unless you know what's going on. If I were to pull out a novel, a mystery novel, and I were to turn two-thirds through the novel and just start reading a section to you, it may be a really terrific novel. But if I'm reading two-thirds through it, it would not make sense to you at all. Now, that's the problem with Easter. For a lot of people, they know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and on Easter Sunday, he rose again. And that's basically all they know. So they don't know the rest of the story. They don't know the backstory. They don't know the context. They don't know the background. And as a result, it doesn't make sense. In other words, so what? Why did God send Jesus to earth? Why did Jesus have to die? What did he die for? What's the significance of him coming back to life? And really, does it have any possible relationship to my life today? You've got to know the storyline in this mystery. Actually, Easter is Act 3 in a 5-act mystery. It actually occurs in the Bible story 2/3 through the Bible. And if you don't know the first 2/3 and you don't know basically the ending, then Jesus' death and resurrection doesn't make that much sense. So here's what I want us to do this Easter. I want to give you the bird's eye view. I want to give you the panorama of history like maybe you've never seen it before, from the beginning of the universe to the end of time, and show you all 5 acts in God's plan for the universe and God's plan for you. We'll call this the mystery of history. And I want you to listen today as if your life depended on it, because it does. So what is the mystery of history? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 3 in the Bible, Paul is talking and he says this: God gave me the responsibility of bringing his grace to you, and he let me understand the mystery of his plan through a revelation, and the mystery about Christ. Now, in past generations, this mystery was not known by people. But now, God's Spirit has revealed his plan through his apostles and prophets. And this mystery is that the good news, that's the gospel, through the good news, people who are not Jews, Gentiles, that's us, may now share with the Jews in God's blessing. They belong in the same family, the same body, and share the same promise that God made in Christ Jesus. Now, the mystery of history is played out from beginning of time to the end of time in 5 acts, and here they are. Act 1 in the mystery of history goes back to the very beginning, and it starts this way. God made it all. That's Act 1. God made it all. The very first verse of the Bible starts this way. In the beginning, which is a good place to start, in the beginning God, which is a good person to start with, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God made the universe. Now, most of us don't have a problem with that, but have you ever thought about this question? Why? Why did God go to all of the trouble to create a universe? Why did he even make a universe? The Bible says he did it for 3 reasons. Number one, he made it all to reveal his glory. In other words, to show us what he's really like. God's glory is his character. It's who he is. It is his nature. And God made the universe to demonstrate, to show, to reveal what God is really like. And there are a lot of things we can know about God just by going out in nature. For instance, we know that God likes variety. Have you noticed this? You go out there and there's not one kind of flower. There are millions of kinds of flowers. There's not one kind of plant. There are millions of kinds of plants. God loves variety. Look down your row. There's not another person like you in the universe. God never makes a clone, never makes a copy. It's all unique. Every snowflake is different. God overdoses on variety. We know that God is creative as we look at his creation. We know that God is organized, how things fit together. In fact, the more we study the universe and the more we study ecology, we know that every single thing has a place and a connection and has a value and has a purpose. We know that God is powerful. When we look at, for instance, the power of waterfalls or the power of volcanoes or the winds and all these kind of things, we know that God likes beauty. And all of the colors and all of the beauty that we see in creation and sunrises and sunsets. And the more science discovers about the universe, the better we understand what God is really like. And we go, oh, that's the way God did that. And that's why God fit that together. Things that we didn't even know 100 years ago. Albert Einstein said, science is thinking God's thoughts after him. And the more we understand about nature and the universe, the more we better we understand what God is really like. It reveals his glory. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. In fact, the Bible says this, there on your outline, everything comes from God, everything exists by his power, wouldn't exist without God, and everything is intended for his glory. History is the story of God's glory. History is his story. It's not your story. It's not my story. We're just a little tiny part of it. History is his story. God started it, God sustains it, and God will end it when he chooses. It's all about God. And so God created the universe first to reveal what he's really like, his glory. Second, God created it all in order to love it, to express his love. God made everything in the universe just to love, and he loves it all. He loves every planet. He loves every star. He loves every plant. He loves every animal. And because he created you, he loves you. The Bible tells us that God is love. Not that God has love, that God is love. He is the essence of love. It is his nature. It is his character. All love comes from God. The only reason you are able to love somebody and the only reason you were able to receive love is because the God who created you is love. And if God hadn't been a loving God, there would be no love in the universe. All love comes from God. And your ability to give and receive it comes because you were made in the image of God. And everything God does, he does to express his love. The Bible says this in Psalm 145, his compassion, that's his love, is intertwined in everything he does. Everything God does, he does it out of love. Now, God has never made anything he doesn't love, including you. God has never made anything he doesn't have a purpose for, including you. God has never made a person that he does not want in his family forever. That's part of his love. And the whole reason you're alive is that God made you to love you. If somebody ever asks you, why am I alive? The reason why you are alive, the reason why your heart is beating right now, the reason why you're taking your next breath, God made you just to love you. And if God had not wanted to love you, believe me, you would not take your next breath. You would not exist if God hadn't created you as an object of his love. That doesn't mean you always do everything right. You don't. When my kids were grown up, they didn't always do everything that's right, but I still loved them because I made them. I created them. And God created you. And God loves you on your good days and on your bad days. He loves you when you feel it and when you don't feel it. God loves you when you think you deserve it and when you think you don't deserve it, because God's love is not based on what you do. God's love is based on who he is. God is love. God's love for you is unconditional. That means you can't make God stop loving you. You can try, but you will fail. Because God's love isn't based on your performance. Everybody else loves you conditionally. If you do this, then I will love you. If you don't do this, then I won't love you. But God's love for you is unconditional. He will never, never, never stop loving you. Because his love is based on who he is. And God says, I created it all. First, to show what I'm really like. Second, in order to love it. God made you to love you. Now, there's a third reason God created it all, and you may have never heard this. God wanted a family. He created it to form a family. God wanted children. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's the reason he created the entire universe. God wanted children to show his love to express his love to, and to share his love with. And we were created to become part of the family of God. The Bible says this. In James chapter 1, in his goodness, God chose to make us his own children. That's the family of God. He wanted children by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his choice possession. Now, that verse in the Bible tells us two astounding facts. First, you matter more to God than everything else he's created. The Bible says we are his choice creation. God says, yes, I love all the birds. I love all the fish. I love all the animals. I love all the stars. I love everything I've made. I love all the plants, but I love people the most because I wanted children and I wanted them to be like me. I created them in my image with the ability to love me back in ways that trees can't love me back and birds can't love me back. I gave them the ability to love me, and I love them more than anything else I've created in all of creation. The second thing it teaches is that God created it all so you could exist. Did you know that many times in the Bible, God says that before he created the universe, he thought you up? There are verses in the Bible that says God had you in his mind and knew he was going to create a family. And that's why he decided to create the universe. In fact, God created the entire universe just so he could create this galaxy, just so he could create this planet, which would sustain human life, just so it would operate on an axis that the earth is tilted in a way that if we moved 1 degree this way, we would burn up. And if we moved 1 degree that way, we would freeze up. And we're at just the right axis so that it would sustain human life, just so we could create the human race, just so we could create you, just so we could love you. Now, if you ever let that sink into your mind, and you don't just get that intellectually, but you let it touch your emotions, it will radically transform your life. That's how much God loves you. No man will ever love you like God does. No woman will ever love you like God does. God's love is lasting and everlasting, and he created the whole universe in order to create a family that he could love. Now, God wasn't lonely. God didn't need us. He wasn't like, oh, I'm so lonely. He just wanted us. And if you ever understand how much God deeply, desperately, passionately loves you, you will never again have a problem with low inferiority, low insecurity, low self-esteem, because you realize that you are the choice of his creation, and he made it all to give you an opportunity to be in his family. Paul says this in the Bible. He says, when I think of the wisdom and the scope of God's plan, I fall down on my knees, in other words, in gratitude, to the Father of all the great family of God. There's that phrase, God wanted a family. And some of them are already in heaven, in the family, and some of them are still down here on earth. It is so important that you understand all five acts of the mystery of history. Because until you understand God's purpose for the universe, you'll never understand God's purpose for your life. And you gotta have meaning. So act one in the mystery of history is God made it all. Act two in the mystery of history is Adam messed it up. Now, he had a little help from Eve, but Adam messed it up. God, when he created this earth, created a perfect planet. And he put Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, in a perfect environment. They called it the Garden of Eden. And everything was great. No sorrow, no suffering, no sickness, no sadness. Think about this. Adam and Eve, perfect tropical paradise. No in-laws. No distractions. A perfect wife. And no clothes. What a God. And he says, enjoy it all, kids. I made it all for you. It was all for fun. And I enjoy watching you enjoy what I've given you. But here's the thing. God wanted his children to be able to love him back. And it's not real love if you're forced to love. Love is only love is if you have a choice. If you can choose not to love, then when you choose to love, that's legitimate love. Now, God loved his kids, but he wanted us to love him back voluntarily, so he had to create a choice. He had to give us a choice. Otherwise, there's no choice. God's the only one around. Then it's like Adam saying to Eve, Eve, you're the only woman on earth for me. Okay? He didn't have much of a choice there. But God said, okay, I'm going to give you a choice. And so he says, out of all creation, enjoy it, kids, have fun with it, enjoy it. But I'm going to put one tree right in the middle, and this is the one that's off limits. And I'm just putting it there for you to have a choice so you can show that you choose to obey me, choose to love me, choose to honor me. Everything else is free. Now, God could have said 90% of the world's off limits, but he didn't. He could have said 50% of the Garden of Eden is off limits. He did the minimum possible. Just one little bitty thing is off limits. And what does Adam do? Head right for that tree. Okay? And then he sinned, he disobeys God, and he takes it like a man. He blames his wife. And ever since then, men and women have been blaming each other ever since. Now, the effect of that sin, that disobedience, was catastrophic on the earth. And we have been bearing the brunt of that catastrophe now for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And it did three things to the earth. First, it brought death onto the planet. The Bible says this: sin came into the world because of what one man did. That's Adam's rebellion against God. And with sin came death. The virus of sin infected the entire world. It'd be like taking a little vial of Ebola virus and dropping it into the water system here in the Saddleback Valley. Nobody'd be drinking the water anymore because it would infect the entire system. And sin brought with it death. Why? Do you realize that before this happened, before Adam disobeyed God, there was no death on the planet? God said, it's perfect. It's environment. There's no reason for you to die and me to take you to a perfect place called heaven because earth is perfect. And so you can just enjoy it there, have fun, have kids. It's going to be great. And we'll have a great relationship and I'll have my children. But the moment sin entered the world, it ruined everything. And all of a sudden we have an imperfect world, and God did not want us living in imperfection for eternity. Thank God. So he said, I'm going to allow death because I don't want my kids living in an imperfect planet with evil and destruction and everything for all of eternity. I will take them to a new place that will be perfect.
Hey, thanks for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Pastor Rick has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus, and this book is stunning. It's filled with beautiful photographs, colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. Now, since you may not be able to ever travel to Jerusalem, I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and his death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high-quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on his journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends, too.
All right, there's only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. We'll send you a copy today. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support. You know, your gift to Daily Hope helps share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.